And speaking of Coeur d'Alene, let's talk about the Coeur d'Alene Symphony and its activities, both immediate and then going into the future. And with that, we have a new voice to bring into the conversation, and that is Holly Blanchette. Hello, Holly.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm fine, and welcome back in many levels, and we'll find out about the welcome back. But you've just been designated the new executive director of the Coeur d'Alene Symphony. Has this actually taken effect, or just days ago, or what's the timing on this?
Yeah, so this took effect on March 8th, 2021, so not too long ago, and I basically just jumped right in and got to work, so it's been very exciting.
And you, in the mortal words of Meredith Wilson and The Music Man, you know the territory because you grew up here. Your brief bio of your relationship to this area.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and went to Canfield Middle School, Coeur d'Alene High School, did all my formal band training there, and actually had the opportunity through high school to go ahead and play with the Coeur d'Alene Symphony starting my sophomore year. I really worked very hard as an oboist, and they needed an extra oboist, and just basically having that community aspect that we've always had in this area, but specifically with the orchestra was, you know, so nice to be welcomed in that environment, because other than that, I don't know where I would have kind of encountered that, you know, in this area.
You know, I want to jump in here because I also, as a high school student millennia ago, played in the Spokane Symphony. And that's just a fabulous boost for a kid, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I think that's actually what started my passion and drive to want to pursue music after high school, you know, and actually make a career out of this, was just the experience that I had with these musicians and the loving and embracing culture that they had too, you know, just so welcoming. It just, I wanted to be a part of that and like continue that for the rest of my life. So it was great.
And then your educational journey, tell us that.
Yeah, so I went to the University of Idaho, go Vandals, for my undergraduate with my Bachelor of Music in Oboe Performance. And then I flew over to the East Coast to North Carolina and did my master's at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro and finished with my doctoral of music arts in oboe performance at the University of Georgia. So I stayed here in the area and then went to the East Coast because many oboists know that really that's where you need to go for that formal training. And it was quite the leap, but I did it, and I decided I'm going to come back and show all the talents and information I've learned.
Well, that's great. And speaking of the information you've learned, most of us who have been musicians have found other, you know, additional ways to performing, such as being on the radio and such. And you've actually had some experience in the world of business, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah. I actually, prior to leaving for North Carolina, took a job as a bank teller with Wells Fargo Bank, just because I've always been a numbers gal. I love it. I love the business side of things. I love bookkeeping. And so that was kind of a, hey, I need to kill a semester because I graduated a semester early and just kind of passed the time prior to leaving for my master's degree. And so that was kind of my first foray into banking professionally. And I actually continued that on when I was had just finished my doctorate and moved to Iowa to help my spouse at the time through med school. I picked up a bank job again. I love it. It's great.
And so here you are back to your home turf, back to Coeur d'Alene. And then just things transpire, and the Coeur d'Alene Symphony, as with so many organizations, been through a lot of interesting changes in the last year and a half. And so they had an executive director job. So did you even have to think twice about applying for that?
Oh, no. In fact, I was just so honored. I actually went in interviewing for the office manager position to help with that. And just through sharing my story and ties to the organization from the beginning, it kind of evolved into a, wait a minute, we have a better spot for you. What do you think about being our executive director? And I was just so humbled and honored because like the, this organization has given me so much, you know, and I don't know that I would have had the success that I had on the East Coast and had all the opportunities with the professional orchestras over there had I not had my foundation with the Coeur d'Alene Symphony.
So that's the good news. Now you have the responsibility and the unique responsibility right now. In a little bit, we'll talk about the further plans, but right now you're shepherding the orchestra through the conclusion of its cyber season. Describe what the Coeur d'Alene Symphony has done within the limitations of what can be done this year.
Yeah, so I've been very impressed because I've been watching this just as an outsider a little bit after the pandemic kind of shut things down and whatnot. And so, you know, I've seen and heard their discussions a little bit of, okay, we've got to revamp things. And they came up with the brilliant idea of let's do some chamber series music, especially with string players, because there's not so much of an issue there with kind of the masks and the aerosols that woodwinds bring to the plate. And so the fact that they went ahead and decided to create a chamber music series, in addition to offering this idea of live streaming, which we've seen a lot of orchestras adapt this particular season, I just thought it was great. I mean, they could have done what many have done and just kind of put a kibosh and said, all right, we'll pick up again next season, you know, not knowing where to go. But it just shows the dedication that the symphony has to our community, knowing that, you know, we all need music. We all need the arts, and they delivered on that despite the circumstances.
And conveniently, your conductor is a good viola player.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, and I think especially, too, it's been nice that for the last two concerts, so this most recent one that we're going to perform on Saturday and then in March, you know, we were able to have a live audience because of where we were at with the reopening. And granted, we don't get to fill up the entire hall, the Kroc Center, but for the 50 seats we've had, we've sold out both now. And to our generous donors with support, too, like they never wavered either. You know, they were just looking for a way to help us, and we are so thankful for that.
So it's a Saturday night concert in which you'll have the 50 people in attendance, and that alone changes everything, doesn't it, for the vibe and the reality of the concert.
Oh, it does. It's just, there's nothing quite like having your live audience to perform to and get that energy that you feed off of as a performer. I know, especially as an oboist too, for me, it's very hard to play unaccompanied works with nobody there. I just feel like I'm practicing. And I think a lot of our musicians feel that way too, that without that audience kind of staring right back at you, the excitement, the adrenaline rush that occurs with that, you feel like you're missing a part of that musical soul. So it's been so nice to have an audience again.
And it's a string concert. And so briefly, the three pieces that are on it, tell us about them.
Yes, so we are going to open with Felix Mendelssohn's String Symphony No. 2 in D major. Then we'll feature Philip Baldwin for the Four Seasons by Vivaldi, just the spring. We're focusing on that first movement. Fittingly so, with it being springtime. And then we're going to close with Franz Schubert's Death and the Maiden. And I'm so excited to hear that one in particular, too, just because I love Schubert, and that work is just absolutely phenomenal.
Death and the Maiden was written as a string quartet. Some quartets are made into chamber orchestra pieces. What version? Are you doing it as a quartet or as a chamber orchestra piece?
We'll do that as actually a quartet, I believe, is my understanding.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of figuring out like their personnel and whatnot, but it sounds like we should be doing that just as maybe more the smaller quartet.
Yeah, and then so there's the 50 people in the audience, but then you'll continue to be available as a cyber concert to people. What's the easy conceptual way for people to connect with you to get set up to get their tickets for that?
Yeah, so if they just go on to the cdasymphony.org website, we have a link, and the link is to Veeps Live Streaming, and it's $20, but that covers an entire household. So if you've got, you know, six people that you want to have a symphony party to watch the live stream, you know, that $20 covers everybody. And I think it's $20 plus tax with that, but that link should take anybody that wants to get this right to where they need to go, put in their online payment information, and then they will get the final link emailed to them on Saturday for the performance.
And so it is Saturday night at 7:30 for the performance, 7 o'clock for the pre-concert lecture. So that's when it will be literally live then. Will it be available on demand after that?
So it is not available on demand after, unless I believe the link will still work for those that have paid for it, but it's pretty much just set aside right now for those that have gone ahead, purchased the Veeps ticket and whatnot. So at this time, at least.
And now the hard question, of course, the big what if question, is we're all wondering and looking down the road and making alternate plans. Tell me about the planning process for what you hope, expect, and might have to do beginning with next September in a new season.
Right. Yes. So I think every executive director and just every organization is facing this question of how do we bring our musicians back? And as I've been doing just the research, looking into things from afar, you know, that the idea is we obviously want the full orchestra back as soon as possible. Everybody, especially those that I've talked to, you know, they are hungry. They are excited to come back and play again and feed off of each other's energy, get an audience's energy. But we are stuck, especially here in Idaho, in a certain level of the stage reopening where, you know, we're not allowed to move further, have bigger audiences yet. So it's very hard to kind of balance that idea of what can I offer in September, or, you know, October is our big opener and everything at Schuller. We'll be back at NIC Schuller Performing Arts Center. So my plan going forward with the symphony is we're going to start out small. So more than the chamber orchestra that we've had, we're going to have up to 25 musicians, and this may include limited wins for our summer concerts that we have in August to September, and then with our opener in October, along with a gala that we're doing at the Coeur d'Alene Casino. So it'll be basically half orchestra, because we can do this safely and shouldn't have to, you know, kind of condense the size of the orchestra at this point. Then kind of watching and seeing how things go and everything, the plan is in December for our holiday pops, we will bring the full orchestra back and we will resume the season plan that we had for this particular last season. We're just going to move to this next season starting in December. So it should be great, but we've also created a backup plan just in case things happen and we have to scale down. We'll again go back to that half orchestra if we needed to, but hopefully we'll get the green light and be able to bring every member of the CSO back in December.
And I assume, as with everybody else, they're hoping that there will be such a move toward everyone, toward people getting vaccinated, that you can move quicker to that. Does the orchestra take a stance on that, or have a way to encourage that to help you back?
You know, we've always just kind of taken the stance of, which I feel our patrons are very supportive of, and that is protecting our musicians and our audience. And, you know, the best way that we can protect them is by doing and taking measures, you know, that are within our control. And so I think we do have a good foundation of support there, that, you know, many that want to come to these concerts will do what's necessary to protect the musicians, it just as an honor to the musicians too, and a thanks with that. So that's kind of where we're at with things and whatnot regarding all of that with vaccinations and such. But
and so so we'll all see, you know, how quickly we can,
yes.
Because it's I guess kind of not to leave it on too, well, to leave it on slightly ironic note, the Coeur d'Alene Symphony has been through a big growth period over the last few years and was just kind of aiming high, including by moving back to Schuller Auditorium. That alone has been a very kind of aggressive stance. And so I imagine you're really hoping to get back to that sort of energy and effect, aren't you?
I definitely feel so. And especially, again, just really this idea of the community that I grew up in, I still feel that that's here. I know that we have so many people moving to the area, you know, and I'm welcoming them as a, you know, a home style person with open arms and whatnot. But the thing that has always, and tradition that's always just gone through no matter what, is that sense of community. And I do think our community wants to come together and wants to do what's best for everybody. We always have each other's backs here. And I'd like to think that going forward, everybody's going to take care of one another, because we're just that kind of neighbor here.
Well, we'll certainly hope for that, and including with beginning with this concert Saturday night. So thank you, Holly Blanchette.
Yes, thank you so much, Vern. I appreciate it.
Holly Blanchette, the newly designated executive director of the Coeur d'Alene Symphony.